Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. Hope it's been a great week for you. Well, you know this. I say it every day, but I'm going to say it again. I look forward to bringing you daily conversations that inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's word, and that even heighten your awareness of God's very real presence in your life. Well, have you ever heard the phrase married but not engaged? You know, it's not uncommon for a man to be going through the motions in his family life all the while thinking things are fine on the home front when in fact they're not. It's possible for a man to be the nicest guy in the world to everyone he meets, yet be totally disconnected from his family. Well, my guest today, Jim Turner, was once that man, and he's here to talk about his journey, the cost, and what he learned about the importance of staying connected with those he loves most. The title of his book is The Disconnected Man, Breaking Down Walls and Restoring Intimacy with Him. I used to be married to a disconnected man, and I'm married to the same man, but God really did rescue our marriage on such a deep level. Nicest guy in the world, so capable of managing so much, happy in his heart, but just disconnected. And this book will be very eye-opening for many of you men when you're going to sit here and go, I did not know that was me. And women who are saying, finally somebody gives words to the issues of my heart. So we'll get him on in just a moment. A couple of quick announcements. Again, I know we've got listeners from all over the world, but for those who are in the Twin City area, if you want to join us for the Sisterhood event, it's for women. It's free. It's tonight. It's going to be epic. But if you're outside the Twin Cities area, we are actually going to have it on Facebook Live, and you can search and find my Facebook page. But there's such an expectancy. We believe that God's going to do some deep soul healing in the lives of those who tune in tonight. So I hope you can join us. Also, another quick announcement. Our spring share starts next week on Tuesday. We are so excited. Would you be prayerful with us as we just really seek God for where he's taking us, what he's about to do? We've got a sense about that, but we can't do it alone, and we wouldn't want to. So be prayerful about your part, and we always love to hear from you. If you're seeking God and praying, let us know what you sense he's saying to you as well. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Jim Turner has been in youth or pastoral ministry for over 25 years. He's personally experienced the battle to overcome disconnection. A father of four incredible young adults, he's remarried and living in the delight of truly being connected with his wife. Jim is an author, and he lives with his blended family in the Pacific Northwest. I will say that Jim's wife, Tanya, we're going to try to get her on at the bottom of the hour, making sure our phones work here. But for now, we're going to hear Jim's story. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Susie, how are you today?
I'm well. Good to have you and looking forward to this conversation. And, you know, we love to start every day talking scripture, Jim. We just want to start there. Is there either a life verse or just one you've been thinking about these days you can share with us?
Yeah, you know, there's one I've been thinking about and working through this passage again. It's one that has encouraged me lately. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And the first couple of verses talk about the sons of Moab and Ammon and them bringing an army against Jehoshaphat. And emissary of some sort, somebody comes to Jehoshaphat saying, hey, there's a great multitude coming our way, and they're going to come up against the city. And the scriptures say in chapter 20, verse 3, Jehoshaphat was afraid. And I thought, what a great admission, you know, that he was afraid, that this great king, this man of God, is afraid. And then the very next thing it says that he did was he turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And it was like, what a great reminder is that when something in life comes up against us, that we're afraid of, the very first reaction is to turn our attention to seek the Lord. I thought that was a great reminder, and I've been meditating on that the last few days.
Boy, that's very, very good. Title of your book is The Disconnected Man, Breaking Down Walls and Restoring Intimacy with Him, and that's your encouragement to women that these walls can come down. But let's start here, if we would, Jim. Describe the disconnected man, maybe things that we wouldn't even expect to know about him.
Well, I was really surprised to hear that you've got some experience living with a disconnected man, and I was really thrilled to hear that he's no longer disconnected. But the way I describe a disconnected man, I define him as a man who is unaware that he is he's distant, emotionally and relationally unavailable. If he knew that that was something he was supposed to be doing, he would probably try to do it, but he's unaware of it, and he doesn't feel those things that me now as a connected man and you and many of your listeners, they naturally feel. It's like, okay, when we're away from people we love, we miss them. A disconnected man is so busy in the moment and doing the next thing that that feeling of loneliness or that feeling of missing somebody doesn't register with him. He doesn't feel that pain like you and I do, like I do now, which I didn't used to, but he doesn't actually feel the pain. So he doesn't sense a need to change anything. You know, like our bodies, when we feel pain, we pull away from something. A disconnected man doesn't feel that emotional pain, so he doesn't try to do anything to correct it. And so the folks around him are suffering oftentimes in silence while this guy is just happy-go-lucky, going on with life, doing the next thing and having a great time.
And thinking things are fine. I remember I have an old friend who her husband was just the nicest guy, and it seemed like a hero to everybody but her. But he was even nice to her, and he laughed a lot, seemed lighthearted. But I knew her for years, and every year the light went out of her eyes a little bit more, a little bit more. And she tried and tried and tried, and she finally left the marriage. She couldn't deal with it. She couldn't stand not being loved anymore. And I wonder how often this happens. And I think some guys may think, I was born this way. I can't get there from here. But I love that you were once a disconnected man, so was my hubby, but you're not any longer. In fact, I thought it was really interesting in your story, Jim. So not only was your wife trying to get your attention, but you had a friend that met you for lunch and had some things to say to you.
Yeah, a very, very good friend, the kind of friend that causes you a lot of pain and then loves you through the pain. So that was that kind of friend. He was very blunt, very forthright. We were actually having coffee one day, and he just simply looked across the table at me. And normal conversation, Susie, just like you and I are having now. You know, we're enjoying our conversation, but we were talking about whatever else. And then he just kind of stops and he says, Jim, I think you could actually get up from this table. You could walk out that door. You could go on with life and never really contact me again and not miss me. And that was the phrase that God used to zero in on my problem. I wanted to argue with that, and I tried to a little bit, but in the end, Susie, the Holy Spirit made it very clear to me that what he said in that sentence was absolutely the definition of who I was at that time. After that conversation, the Spirit just started doing a renovation in my heart based on that observation from him.
Was your marriage already over by this point, or was this all in the mix of God kind of getting your attention?
Yeah, my wife had already left. Marriage wasn't over, but we had been separated. She moved across the country, and we were 1,800 miles apart. But even that, even her leaving didn't get my attention. I found every excuse to say, well, what is wrong with her? And I didn't look at myself. And it was that, when he said that to me, it started opening my mind and my heart to her pain. And when that happened, I was able, for the first time in my life, to start feeling someone else's pain. And that's really a difficult admission for a pastor, because we're supposed to be able to feel other people's pain and help them through it. But I really never did until God got a hold of my heart in that way, and I started to feel her pain that I had caused over 24 years at that time. And then, you know, we started to try to do something about that, and it was just too late for her heart. As you described, you know, over the years, it just slowly dies. And in my ex-wife's case, that was the case.
Well, we're going to pause here. When we come back, I want to know, Jim, how does a guy get that way? Is it trauma where it's really like a detachment syndrome? Or is that just part of it, kind of under an umbrella of reasons why a guy would be on lockdown on his heart, so he sort of lives in the shallows? I'd love to know. Friend, I'd love for you to chime into this conversation. Maybe you know a disconnected man. Maybe you are a disconnected man. Chime into the conversation. I want to know what your thoughts are. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. I say put that thing on speed dial so you can just text us just like that, all right? We've got, I think, 5 copies of The Disconnected Man. You can email middays@myfaithradio.com, and we will be back in a moment. Welcome, Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Jim Turner about his book, The Disconnected Man. And here's something you need to hear at the outset of this, is that God is in the business of restoration, of redemption. We can blame things in our past, even in our genetic family line. We may have a predisposition to something, but God supersedes all of that. He's greater than all of those things. And if we're willing and humble and teachable, he can redeem any story whatsoever. And Jim Turner was once a disconnected man. Nice guy, capable of managing a lot, but just emotionally unavailable to his wife. Eventually she left and even had a friend tell him, I think I could walk away and you'd never miss me, never think about me again. Like he was detached. And God started to reveal to Jim he had a disconnected heart. And before we dig into how God recovered your heart, Jim, tell me, how does a guy get disconnected? How does that happen?
Yeah, great question. And I think it happens along several different paths. We see, the book's been out for a little over a year now, and we've had lots and lots of guys contact us, and everybody has a different story about how they got there. Some childhood trauma caused them to shut down. Some later adult trauma. In my case, it was just kind of an incremental, well, you know what, I really don't need that emotional baggage, so let's just not engage in that because there's things to do. I didn't have any deep emotional trauma in childhood. I had a great childhood. I had parents who loved me. But in my case, my parents, we didn't show love through physical touch. I didn't get hugs. My parents never said, I loved you. As a matter of fact, the first time I ever heard my parents say, I love you, is I was in Bible college, and a chapel speaker challenged us to call our parents and tell them that we love them and we appreciate them for, you know, allowing us to come to Bible college. That scared me to death, Susie. I mean, I can't tell you how much anxiety I had before I made that phone call. But I made the phone call, I talked to my parents, and at the end of the phone call, I said, I love you, out loud, and it was stone-dead silence. Well, great to talk to you, son, and that was
wow.
It. Right?
Wow.
But you know what? I never, ever once doubted or had any problem knowing that my parents loved me from childhood on. It was just that we never said it and we didn't show physical attention to one another. But now, I mean, there's no way that I'm getting off of a conversation with my mom. My dad's passed, but with my mom without, and I love you. There's no way that we're ever going to see each other without a big hug. And all that's different now, but it took somebody to break that dam, so to speak. And so that's how I got there. It was kind of this incremental thing that I didn't see it displayed, so I didn't think I needed to, you know, display it either.
Yeah, you know, there's some work involved, as you said, and sometimes I wonder. I'd say my husband's situation was very similar to yours. He just is managing a lot, and it just there was almost a passivity in that, because it's like to have to engage means you're opening a can of worms, and it's just easier to skim the surface. And but I would love to know how God recovered your heart. What did that look like?
Well, I think the first thing he did was just simply allow me to feel my wife's pain, and I can't give you a step one, two, and three on how to get that done. I think it's just one of those things that the Holy Spirit says, all right, it's time. And that's one thing I encourage men and women both, is that God parents each one of us differently, and God knows the timing that he needs to bring to bear on our hearts when we're ready for it. I don't think I was ready to hear it until I heard it. And then when I heard it, my heart suddenly opened to let the Holy Spirit do the work of feeling all those emotions and all that pain and all that loneliness that I'd never felt before. And so for me, that was a big part of starting this journey, is just spending lonely nights feeling the pain, and, you know, lonely sleepless nights feeling the pain, and it wouldn't go away, and that was not anything that I would have ever asked for, nor did I enjoy, but God did that. And the only thing I can suggest is, if this message reaches you, if you think that you might be disconnected, just go to prayer and ask God to show you very clearly. That's the first step.
Were there implications with your children as well?
Absolutely. I mean, I can see even today that my sons struggle with being different than I am. And my daughters, now, fortunately, Susie, God is so good. My daughters and I have a great relationship. As a matter of fact, my daughter called me last night, and she's having some relational issues of her own. And we had a 45-minute conversation about how to work through that. But I was distant from them until God changed my heart. And then I invited them in. And that's another key step, is that disconnected men, if they suspect they're disconnected, they have to reach out to those around them that love them and let them in and say, you now have permission to speak into my life, and I promise not to react negatively. Now, I may fail, but I'm going to do my best to hear what you have to say and really try to understand and connect. And that was a big key for me. I let my daughters in. They were my adult daughters at the time. They had a lot of good things to say to me. And then I also let people around me, like people I was going to church with, my friends, I gave them permission to speak into my life in a relational, emotional way. And then I just made myself a student. I have to learn this because I don't know how to do it.
Boy, and that takes so much humility. You said one of the most difficult barriers to believing you're important to your disconnected man is that you don't see it or you don't feel it. And this is the disconnect, is that the people that are around the disconnected person feel unimportant. They just feel unimportant. And yet the person who is doing the disconnecting thinks everything's fine. And they run these parallel paths till there's this blow up, and it almost blindsides them. I didn't see it coming. Where the other person's saying, I've been saying it forever, you know. I'm wondering, you know, we just got a few minutes left here before our bottom of the hour break, but maybe speak to that man who thinks things are fine, but as he's listening to you, he's getting irritated, he's getting disturbed, because it's reminiscent of things that he's heard but not wanted to hear. What do you say to him?
Yeah, it's tough for a guy, because a good man wants to meet the needs of his wife and children and those around him. That's his desire. He wants to do that. And when he hears that he's not doing that, and Benny has no idea how to do it, it's very, very difficult for him to just keep it together and not become angry about that. You see, that's the difference between men and women. A lot of times is that men feel inadequate, and they show that by becoming angry at the situation, not necessarily at the people. Instead of being introspective and saying, okay, what is it about me that I can address to help everyone around me? So they get angry and they shut the conversation down, and it can't go any further. Done deal. And so I would encourage men that when they start getting that sense that they're feeling inadequate, they're feeling like somebody's blaming them for being the problem, that sort of thing, is that they first of all shut that anger response down. Is don't go there. Don't use that as a way to get out of the conversation. Instead, start asking questions and keep asking questions to try to understand, okay, what is it that I don't do? What is it that I do? How can I do better? Things like that. And that will change the tone so that the woman or your children feel like it's a safe conversation. Because what happens is when the man responds in anger, it's not safe anymore for the woman to continue that conversation. So nothing ever gets done. And so that's my first admonition to men, is to find a way to quell that rising anger within you and just face the fact that there's things to work on and you need to start working on them.
You know, Dr. Gary Small used to say that your wife is the best marriage manual you will ever read. You want to know how the marriage is doing? Ask her. This dear listener writes in, he says, I think I'm disconnected. I thought my ability to just be in the moment wherever I am, happy-go-lucky, who is friendly with everyone, extroverted, meant I was connected with people. But your statement that you don't miss someone when you're not with them rang true. I look forward to seeing my family when I'm away, but I don't feel pain when I'm gone. Thankfully, I work from home and I'm not gone much. Thank you for your show today. Thank you for that comment. I mean, that's where it starts. It's just a revelation. Am I disconnected? And maybe start by asking your loved ones, do I seem emotionally unavailable to you? We're going to pause here. Love more texts, more thoughts from both men and women on this topic. What do you say? Is this resonating with you? 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Title of the book, The Disconnected Man, Breaking Down Walls and Restoring Intimacy with Him. Email to get in on the drawing, middays@myfaithradio.com. Put disconnected man in that subject line. Don't forget the mailing address. And we'll be back with more great conversation with Jim Turner in a moment. Tuning in to Midday, I'm Susie Larson talking to Jim Turner, who was once a disconnected man. Nice guy, loved Jesus, serving in the church, totally unaware of how emotionally unavailable he was for his wife and family. In due time, his wife, trying to get his attention, he didn't hear. She left, and the marriage ended. And at the same time, he had a friend who said, I don't get the sense that you really care about me. In fact, if we walked away, you'd never think about me again. You're so emotionally unavailable. Well, in due time, God started to unravel his heart and show him how disconnected he really was. And there are countless of disconnected men in church who are good guys, working hard, nice to everybody, but emotionally unavailable for the ones who need them most. That's what we're talking about today. Jim Turner's book is titled The Disconnected Man. We've received a note from a listener wondering if they could call in, so we've just opened the phone lines. You can call anonymously if you want to chime in, or you can text in as well. I won't say your name if you've got questions, comments, 877-933-2484. And we've got Tanya also. Tanya is Jim's wife, and they are working on helping people live connected lives. I see the phone call dropped off, but we'll take Tanya and Jim. Tanya, welcome to the show. So nice to meet you.
Thank you, Susie.
So talk to me about, for you, marrying Jim after he'd been a disconnected man. Actually, let's back up before you got married. What was that kind of dating season like? And were you afraid because of past history? Or was he just so broken and so owning the process of where he'd been that you felt like you kind of are stepping in a perfect time in his life?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, when we met online, and it was kind of a funny story because I was very broken at the time because of my previous marriage and mistakes I had made. And so when he reached out to me, he, you know, saying, hey, you know, I'm interested in talking with you. And he said, you know, here's my website. You can go on there, look at it. And I saw he had been a pastor for 25 years. And I messaged him back and said, you know what, you probably don't want to date me. So thank you, but no thank you. I'm going to order your workbooks that he had written. And, you know, thank you very much. And he wrote me this beautiful email saying, you know, how could you say that? You know, I want to meet you. I want to get to know you. And, you know, I don't care about your past. We both have past. Let's get together and just talk. And I've never known Jim to be a disconnected man. He is a wonderful husband. He's completely connected with all of our kids and just loving in every way. And you know, it, our relationships just bloomed immediately. I mean, we knew after just probably 3 dates we were getting married, and we were married in 4 months.
Wow. Wow. And how long have you been married now?
We just celebrated our anniversary, 4 years.
Wow. Congratulations. Well, this dear listener called in but wanted to comment off air, says, one of the most important things I've heard on the show is the difference between a boy and a man. A grown boy looks for a woman to take care of him, and a man looks for a woman to take care of. And boy, that's really important. Jim, I want you to make a distinction, if you would, because you do this in the book, between a narcissist and a disconnected man. That's an important distinction as well. But thanks, friend, for calling in and giving us that comment. What do you say, Jim?
Yeah, great question, because it is one of the most common questions that comes up and says, okay, you know, this disconnectedness, that just sounds like narcissism to me. And that's true for people who are connected. It does sound like narcissism. But the difference is, a disconnected man is unaware that he's causing people pain by being emotionally disconnected. A narcissist is related to people without knowing their emotional needs. A narcissist is using people to meet his own desires, whatever they may be. In other words, he's purposefully using people, knowing exactly what he's doing. Or having such a deep need within himself that he's got to use people in order to meet that need. A disconnected man doesn't use people. He just doesn't engage with them.
You know, and that's the interesting thing is, you know, I remember when Keb walked through that season, it was many seasons in a row, but kind, sweet, godly man, great work ethic, integrity, all of that. But it was like when I would talk to him about that disconnect, it was looking right through me. And I've heard that from so many wives. And I would say there's a common denominator with a disconnected man is everybody sees it but him, it seems. What do you say to a wife who's saying, he's such a good man, and I feel bad even complaining, but if I'm honest, my heart is not cared for by him. What am I going to do? How do I keep my heart in the game?
That's tough. It's very, very difficult. And I got to tell you, we've done a workbook for women that addresses much of that. It takes a woman through each chapter of our book. And Tanya had a great deal of input into the book because, you know, she's got some experience here, too, in her past. And so she could give some insight into a woman's heart and how you work through disconnection. So in the workbook, we just give example after example, testimony after testimony of women who are in this situation who have read the book or have worked through on their own. And then we give some really practical exercises on just what a woman can do. And, you know, we talked last year, Susie, and we offered a 7-step starter guide for women, specifically written for women. It's called the Popcorn Steps. It's still available. If folks want to connect with us on our website, jimturnerauthor.com, they can request the Popcorn Steps, and it's a great way for women to just get a real quick introduction into, okay, how do I connect with a disconnected man, and how do I handle my own heart issues because of this disconnected relationship.
So I want to know, friends, that we have one workbook, a woman's workbook and a man's workbook. So 5 books are going out, but 2 of you will win one with the workbook. And I'd love it for you to speak to that, Tanya, to the woman that I just asked about, who loves her man, but she's like, everybody sees it but him. I'm trying to keep my heart in it, but you can't keep going like that when your own heart needs nourishment from your spouse.
Yeah, it's a very, very tough place to be. And, you know, we've counseled some women this year, and that's probably the toughest thing, because women want the man to be okay, and they want to fix their husband, but they need something from him. And bottom line is, we can't fix our husband. He needs to be aware of his issue. The only thing we can do is to, focus on our heart and guard our heart and, you know, cling to the Lord. And, I just love the Psalm 46. That was kind of my life passage, I think, you know, through the hard times I've had, you know, where God's fighting our battle, and he's in the midst of our battle. He's saying, be still and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted among the earth. You know, he wants us to be still before him. He wants us to intercede on our husband's behalf and be praying for him, and to, you know, guard our own heart, and to just, do the things we need to do as a woman to, be strong, you know, have those friends that we're trusting with the issues, that we can talk to them. We can maybe go to counseling, you know, and definitely work on our own issues, because we all have those hurts and those issues. And as we grow and as we, guard our heart and become the woman that God wants us to be, interceding for our husband, we're that example to him of, hopefully what he needs to do. So, but it's a tough, tough road. And, you know, a lot of women just don't want to do that. They don't want to take care of themselves. They just want the husband to do the work. Mm-hmm. So that's really the workbook. We're encouraging the women to do that, you know, work through their own fears, work through their hurts, cling to the Lord, pray for their husband, and that they will have results, even if it's just peace in their own heart, hope for the future.
Ron Rhodes, a Bible scholar, often says that God first turns the light on. He turns up the light with his children if they're missing it. Then he'll turn up the heat. And sometimes it takes a crisis for the light and the heat to bring awakening. Now, here's a different spin, and I want to just make sure that this dear listener is heard. He says, I've read this book. From my discussion with other men, many men may appear to be disconnected from their wives, but the truth is they're just completely checked out from their wife because they are in a sexless marriage less than 1 times per month. In a recent Bible study of 5 out of 6 couples in their 40s were in a dry spell, had not had sex in the last month. This is a topic you need to discuss. And Jim, I'd love for you to speak to that, because you also did address intimacy in the book, but I'd love for you to speak specifically to this man's thoughts here.
Yeah, great question. The way he worded it sounds like a reaction to the lack of sex rather than taking ownership for his part. And I could be reading it wrong. I could have heard it wrong. But here's what I encourage men to do. And this is what Jesus did. And I can't get over this, is that Jesus did exactly what he was supposed to do in every circumstance, regardless of the response of the other party. Mm. Every time he was called to love somebody, he loved them, regardless of their response. And he got all kinds of responses. He got rebuked by his own disciples. He got challenged by the Pharisees. If you look at all the responses to Jesus in the Gospels, you will see in them some of the responses that men get from their wives when they engage with them. And what we're called upon to do is, regardless of our wife's response, regardless if she wants to be intimate, regardless if she wants to engage in the ways that we feel she needs to engage, regardless of any of that, that does not remove our responsibility to be like Jesus in the relationship. Boy. We're called to sacrifice, to suffer, and even to die for those we love, just like Jesus. And so when I hear a man switch the topic and move it onto his wife and kind of shift that blame, I want to bring that man, and the same with a woman. A woman can do the same thing. She can blame the man for all of her troubles. In each case, I want to turn that around and say, listen, Jesus never did that. He never blamed anybody. He just continued to do exactly what the Father wanted to do, regardless of anyone's response.
And thank you. I agree with that completely, because we'll never get anywhere by pointing. And you even addressed with your first wife in counseling, she I can't say the word that she even said on the air, but how she felt trying to be intimate when there was no emotional connection. There are times when women, especially if there's sexual trauma in the past, it's almost impossible to be physically intimate if you're not emotionally connected. Now, again, it's not always the man's fault, and the woman is not always innocent. We absolutely know that. But how important for us to say, what in me, Lord? And this dear listener says, Susie, Jim, thank you for sharing your pain in hopes to help other men, women, and saving marriages. The same exact thing happened to me 2 years ago, still recovering and healing from divorce. Listen to this. Been on my heart to apologize to my ex for my disconnection, ordering the workbook today. And that's the thing. It's like you can go so far with humility. And this dear listener says, hi, this book changed my life. I heard this interview with Bill Arnold several months back. The key piece of that was a story about his friend at the coffee shop. I've given many copies to other men, and they too are being changed by God through the realization of this book. This issue is extremely pervasive, and recognizing it is essential first step of growing, not just in a personal relationship, but in our walk with Christ as well. Thank you, Jim. I just married. I'm a widower on the 23rd of March. I'm certain without this book that the relationship would not have survived. Well put, friend. I'm going to pause here and take a break, but what a testimony. And, you know, there are lots of people pointing the fingers at their spouses, and I know that hat comes out of a hurt place, but change will never happen until we humble ourselves, going, what in me, Lord? And what in me is creating a reaction? I'm putting up walls. You know, it's not about rightness. It's about reconciliation, oneness, intimacy. Talking to Jim and Tanya Turner, title of the book, The Disconnected Man. Two of you will get a book and a workbook. Four of you will get a copy of the book. Email to get in on the drawing, middays@myfaithradio.com. It looks like the phone lines are still open. You can call 877-933-2484 or text. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, having a pretty engaging conversation. Love seeing the texts, the calls, the emails, talking to Jim Turner about his book, The Disconnected Man, Breaking Down Walls and Restoring Intimacy with Him. And we're talking about the disconnected man is a good man, a happy guy, very capable, going through life, thinking everything's fine. But everybody in his circle who loves him the most feels really disconnected, like he's emotionally unavailable. Like there's a portion of him that's just not available to them. And in due time, it creates a crisis because you can't keep giving and giving. Eventually, it's like your heart stops beating. We've got an anonymous caller calling in today who wants to share a bit about his story. I'm going to give the number one more time, 877-933-2484. Hey, friend, you're on the air.
Well, not anonymous. My name's Tom.
Hey, Tom. So good to meet you. I wanted to honor that. Good to know I can call you Tom. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
What's your story today?
Well, I have not been a disconnected man, but I am now. Just real quick, coming up on 20th wedding anniversary, been together 27 years. And my wife has been the disconnected one, and I have, it hasn't been until recently that I realized some of the things that's been going on over the past 18 or 20 years, basically since we've been married, that some things she has said recently makes, I mean, it's like the light went on. Okay. And now I'm at a point, you know, just a long story short, so you guys can ask me questions if you would like, but I'm at a point now where my wife, okay, she loves me and I love her. I know it's not a sexual thing because, you know, that's fine. But she's 12 years older than I am. And I just want to go, you know, because she has no confidence in me and hasn't for some time. And I didn't know this until recently.
What do you say, Jim?
Well, Tom, bless you for being so open with that. That is not an easy thing for a man to talk about. And so my hat's off to you, first of all, is that my second thing is when she says she has no confidence in you, that probably takes a lot of unpacking that we may not have time to do here. But whatever the heart of that phrase is, that she's lost confidence in you, I think that's what you need to find the heart of. You know, what does that mean for her? And is that something that is something she needs to address in her own heart, or is that something that you can address and actually change some things about the way you relate to God and relate to her that will meet that need that she's expressing? You have to get down to those things before you can actually start addressing that phrase. Does that make sense?
Well, she has not said that. It's just what I have realized. And she has drawn away from God where I've drawn closer to him. You know, she hasn't even been to church, won't even get up, hasn't been for, you know, a long time now, over a year, whichever the case.
I hear you loud and clear. And I got to tell you that your story is so common for what we hear on either side of the coin, you know, and we have found, Tom and Susie, we've found that women can be disconnected just like men can. Lower percentage of women, but they can certainly be disconnected. I just flip the coin with our book, Tom, and say, okay, when I read The Disconnected Man, maybe I just need to put in The Disconnected Woman here. And insofar as it applies, do the things for myself that Jim tells the women to do in the book, and then hope that God will speak to my wife's heart and help her do the thing that men asks, or Jim asks men to do in the book. Are you following me there?
Give some examples, Jim, of like what he could do to care for his heart, and even maybe an approach in a conversation with her. Help me understand. You're wondering, we're wondering. Help me understand what's going on. What are some practical steps Tom could take?
Yeah, great question, Susie. I'd say number one is get together with godly men that you trust to tell you the truth. And schedule regular time with them every week if needed. Get together with them and get it all out. Let them know everything that's going on. Let them speak into your life. If you've got a counselor, then avail yourself of that. First couple of steps. What were you going to say, Tom?
Well, I have definitely done that because of the ministry that I'm a part of. I have suggested the same thing to her, and finally, got her to see a counselor. But there's still, it's kind of like, you know, an alcoholic or a drug addict who you first have to get out of denial and realize that there's a problem. And I have been trying to pull her through this for more than 10 years to realize that there's a problem. And every time I ask, you know, hey, what do I got to do to get you more involved in the marriage? You know, I either have no answer or things will perk up for a week or two or maybe a month, and then it's right back to where she is. And so this roller coaster of up, down, up, down, up, down, after so many years, I am literally ready. And I have said, Lord, if you can, you know, make a change with this and it would be better without me, I would, as much as it would break my heart, would rather be away from her so that you can take care of this. And if it means that we're back together in the future or something, great. If it doesn't, well, you know, God is in control, and that's where I'm looking to for most of it. But it, you know, until he moves or until he speaks to us, you know, this is where I'm at right now. I'm kind of in the valley going through. And since you guys were talking about this, then I thought that I would ask you and see if there might be something that I could include in my prayers or otherwise that might help facilitate either my thinking or my prayer life or my association with my wife.
Tom, I wonder, you know, we're getting ready to wrap here, but I'm wondering, you know, you pray a wild prayer, like, Lord, do whatever you have to do to grab a hold of her heart. I mean, you know, if it were me, I'd be fasting, I'd be praying, I'd be putting up my shield saying, enemy, you cannot have my marriage. I would do what Jim's saying and get with other guys so you can care for your heart. I hear the exhaustion. I can't even imagine how tired you must feel. So the last thing I want to say is, you know, to hike yourself up by your bootstraps. But I believe God has a strategy for you in this somehow, where there's life and there's peace. And I think, I'm wondering, Jim, if you could pray for him now, that God would give him a divine strategy so he would not carry what he's not supposed to carry, but he would, you know, go after the stuff God's telling him to go after. Would you pray for him?
Absolutely. Father, we just bring Tom before your throne, and thank you, Lord, that you have made him your child. You've saved him by grace, and you are working in his heart right now. And he's humbled himself to call and ask for help. And Lord, you're the great helper. You're the great physician. You can give him the answers that he needs. And I pray, Lord, that you would show him some very clear next steps to love his wife like Jesus loved us. When we were yet enemies, Jesus loved us. When we weren't responding to Jesus, he loved us, and he won us, and he did the work it took to bring us to him. And I pray that you give Tom the ability to do that for his wife, but also just simply the next step, and help him just rely on you for each and every step from here on in Jesus' name.
Tom, thank you for that call. And hang on and give Carissa your address. We're going to get you a book and a workbook. And Tanya and Jim, thank you for the time. Tanya, I'm so sorry we couldn't get more time with you, but thank you both for giving us your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Susie. It's been great, and so thankful for your listeners.
Yeah, always appreciate our conversations. Jim Turner, Tanya Turner, the title of the book, The Disconnected Man, Breaking Down Walls, Restoring Intimacy with Him. You know, we're all drifters by nature. It's always good to pause and say, Lord, show me if I've let go of something you want me to hold fast to. Hope you found some encouragement here today. Remember this, you walk intimately with him. It is impossible for him to fail you. And we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.